Somebody touch me. I remember when I was touched by that someone, the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never forgotten it. And I don't think that anyone could be touched by him and ever forget it. It's just an unforgettable, life-changing encounter with the one true and living God. And I'm thankful that I can relate to the words of that song. Somebody indeed did touch me October the 26th, 1980. I got saved, got born again, and I've never been the same. Not perfect by any means, but certainly not the same. And I'm thankful to God that I'm heaven bound. I'm going to heaven because of the grace of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Before I get into the Word, you can go ahead and take your Bible and turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. 2 Timothy chapter number 4, and I would encourage you not only to open up your Bible, let me encourage you, if you're watching by way of Facebook, YouTube, pull your children around, get your family together and watch as a family, just as you would if you were sitting in a congregation here at the church. And I pray you would watch and you would worship together as a family in your household as we look into 2 Timothy chapter number 4. We are rejoicing with a family of the church. I've been made a grandfather again. Our son Michael and his precious wife Kristen gave birth to little Adelie Grace. And we're thankful for little Adelie, and we're just rejoicing with them. Born this morning around 4:44, I think is the exact time that I was given as they woke me up to tell me that. And I could never be more happy to be awakened at 4 o'clock in the morning than to hear that great news of the healthy birth of a healthy little girl. And we're rejoicing with Michael and Kristen. You pray for them now that mom would continue to recover and the child would be okay and that they would be home here before too long. Well, there's a lot going on in our world, and we're going to continue to live stream these services. Many of you are aware of our governor's mandate, the updated mandate that went out and through June the 10th. And there's certainly mixed emotions about those things, and I'm not here to discuss those. I'm going to preach the Word of God to you because I believe that's what it's going to take during this day in which we live. Let's just stay focused on the Word of God. Now, that's not an easy thing to do, whether there is a coronavirus or not. It's difficult to stay focused on the Word of God, the work of God, the will of God. But we can do that, and I want to encourage you from the Word of God this evening to do that and how that you can do that. We are looking at options here at Fellowship Baptist Church to have some drive-in services. We'll bring you some more information on that, so you stay tuned. Let me also encourage you, invite your friends. If there are folks who do not attend church, or maybe a church that they do attend does not have a live stream capability, invite them to join us live stream by Facebook or on YouTube. And if you're watching, just let us know that you're watching. Hit the like button, or, well, there's not a dislike, so that's a good thing, amen. But hit the like button, or just say amen. That's a good Baptist word, good Bible word. And just let us know that you're watching, and we appreciate that. Well, let's get into the Word. I want to talk to you a little bit tonight out of 2 Timothy chapter number 4. There's so much material here. I could preach out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, really any preacher could, for weeks. But tonight I just have a limited portion of time, and so I want to get into the message on some individuals that I think that was facing a crisis. Now, if you're familiar with the Scripture just a little bit, you know that this is the final writing, the final letter that God canonized by the Apostle Paul and put into the canon of Scripture. By that I mean that God inspired Paul, and Paul wrote this letter to young Timothy, and this was his final writing before he was executed there in Rome. Now, one of the things that I always think about when I think about Paul going to Rome, we quote that verse of Scripture where he said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And I'm thankful that Paul had that attitude. Right there in Rome, listen, that was the center of everything unholy. And yet Paul said, you know, right here, even in Rome, I'm not going to be ashamed. I'm going to stand up for Jesus. I'm going to preach the gospel. Yes, I'll preach it in Ephesus. Yes, I'll preach it in Colossae. I'll preach it in Thessalonica. I'll preach it wherever God bids me to preach it. Even here in Rome, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And that just really challenges my heart. And I hope it challenges your heart. Wherever God has planted you, I pray that that would be your Rome. You would realize that God wants you not to be ashamed. God doesn't want us. God doesn't want me to be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so let us not be ashamed. He was here and he was going to die now, getting ready to be executed. And he made a statement. He wrote his young protege. He wrote young Timothy, the young man he had been mentoring. And he said, Timothy, in chapter number 4 and verse number 2, he said, just preach the word. Amen. Well, I tell you, if we've ever needed a charge and a challenge today that is true, this is it right here. Preach the word of God. Get in the word of God and preach it, men. Preach the word of God. And then he went on to talk about a time that men will not endure sound doctrine. And certainly we're living in that time. If you go back to chapter number 3, you'll see where he said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. And then here again, he kind of picks up with that thought that in the last days, there's people's just going to not endure sound doctrine. They're going to heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. In other words, they don't want to hear the pure, unadulterated word of God. They want it kind of watered down and cut up. But he told Timothy, now Timothy, you preach the word. And then he said in verse number 5, he said, but watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the working of evangelists, make full proof of thy ministry. Then he said this, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Well, no doubt Paul knew whether it was from the dictate of the leaders there, whether it was God letting him know. I personally believe that it was that before the leaders got the word out that Paul was going, his life was going to be required of him. And he made this statement. He said, now, Timothy, I want you to know something. You haven't known me my whole life. You know of me. You've watched me. He said, but I want you to know I fought a good fight. Look at verse number 7 in your Bible. I have finished my course. He said, this is it. Now, it's amazing that God let a man know when his course was run. And this is very important. And I want you to hold on to that thought because we'll get back to it. Paul knew this is it. Right? God's not going to deliver me from this. This is it. I have finished my course. Now, he didn't say my course is close to being finished. He said, this is it. I finished my course. And he said, in doing so, I've kept the faith. I stayed true all the way through. And I tell you, that's a great testimony. Amen. I mean, that just, it's a wonderful thing. So he said, I've done this. And he said, Timothy, I'm encouraging you. And I want to encourage you to do that. But then he gives us some quick snapshots. One of the things that I love about the Apostle Paul, and I haven't counted, it may be something for you to do, and I don't do it while I'm preaching this message, but if you want, after the live stream's over, if you want to go and count, I know, and you can count them after I finish preaching. There's 17 acquaintances or companions or fellow laborers mentioned just right here in 2 Timothy chapter 4 of the Apostle Paul. 17. 28 in Romans chapter 16. Someone said there's near 100 men and women that Paul mentioned that were his co-laborers, that were his companions in ministry. Paul was a people person. And he loved to get people and mentor them and to get them involved in the ministry and open up avenues for them to get involved in God's work. And I think that's a great thing. It encourages me. It challenges me to do the same. But he said, I've kept the faith. I finished my course. And then he said, I want to give you some snapshots. Now, this was a crisis time. I don't think I'd have to argue with anyone that the time that we're living in is unprecedented. This is a crisis time, all right? Now, I'm not saying that so that you'd get all afraid, and I'm saying that so that you will listen very intently to some things that I'm going to say to you about some of these individuals that we're going to look at their lives. There's different responses that are given in this crisis. Now, what's the crisis? Well, the ministry is getting ready to lose a giant in the faith. Paul said, I'm done. I'm leaving here. My course is finished. And it affected some people. Crisis always affects people. And it affects people differently. So let's go over now to verse number 10, where he said, for Demas, and here's our first individual, a little snapshot. We're going to get a little snapshot of this man Demas. He said, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus to Dalmatia. Now, again, he's mentioning people that have been working with him. Now, here's a man, Demas. And I'm speaking to some people out there, you're a Demas, all right? Maybe you haven't completely forsaken. That's what that word in verse number 10, for Demas hath forsaken. That word means to abandon. That word means to desert, to leave in a lurch. He left Paul in a very critical time. And so he said, Demas hath forsaken. Notice this now, me. Now, when we turn back on God, it always affects other people. You know, the devil will have us to believe, well, you know, this is your life. You do with it what you please. And you're the only one that's going to be affected by it. That's a lie. That's a lie. It always affects other people. And here was Paul being affected. Now, personally, I believe it affected all the workers. I believe it affected Demas' family. I believe it affected the ministry. But what Paul was saying, yes, Demas did forsake me, but ultimately, Demas forsook the ministry that God had given him. And if you look in Philemon, don't do it while I'm preaching, but in Philemon chapter, there's only one chapter, one, in verse number 24, he's referred to as a co-laborer, a fellow laborer. There was a time when Demas was working in the ministry. He was involved in ministry. And yet here he is forsaken. Here he is going away. Here he is turning back. Why? Crisis. Can I tell you that crisis sometimes causes people to turn back? Now, what did Demas turn back to? Well, Paul said that he's loved this present world. Now, not everyone that turns back is because they love the present world. There's many different reasons. I've been in the ministry for 35 years. I've seen people turn back for many different reasons. And I'm not here to stomp down on them and to kick them around or throw them under the bus. I'm just telling you, if you're watching tonight and this crisis that we're in right now is causing you to be faint-hearted, and you're getting a little weak in your faith, I want to encourage you, watch out. I want to encourage you, as Paul wrote young Timothy back in chapter 2 of this book, be a good soldier. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He said, study, Timothy. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. You know, I wonder, had Demas, what did Demas do? Why did Demas go back? Maybe his relationship with Paul was severed because Paul was in prison. Maybe Demas became fearful that what was happening to Paul was going to happen to him. I don't know. I don't know if it was fear that gripped his heart and that's what caused him to turn back. I don't know if his eyes got dollar signs in them. Thessalonica was a port city. It was a trade city. And there was a lot of temptation there, a lot of materialism there. I'm uncertain, but I'm saying this. In a crisis time, people in the faith are tempted to turn back. Now, here's the one truth I want you to get from this. And that is, not a one of us, listen to me now, not a one of us will ever get beyond worldliness or weakness. Jesus said, you better watch and pray. He said, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Don't you think, well, you know, preacher, I've been saved for X amount of years and I've been in church and it's going to take more than a virus keeping me out of church for a couple of months and just doing live stream. It's going to take more than that for me to turn my back on God and to get out of the faith. Well, listen, I hope that it does. But there's not a one of us above it. It's not beyond any of us. And so I want to encourage you during this time, stay in the book. Paul had told Timothy over in chapter number 3 of 2 Timothy, he said in verse number 14 of chapter 3, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. He said, Timothy, you stay in the book. For all scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. Stay in the word, Timothy. Stay in the word. And I want to encourage you to do the same. Why? Because Demas forsook Paul. He forsook the ministry. He forsook what God had given him to do. He forsook God. And I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. Maybe you've already grown faint-hearted and you've not reading your Bible. You've kind of cut back on your Bible reading time or your prayer time. Maybe you're fearful and you're thinking, I don't know what to do and I don't know where I'm going to go from here. Well, I just want to tell you now, you can trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Get in God's Word every day. Get in God's Word. That's the answer. That's the answer. Now, I've seen them come and I've seen them go. I've seen God raise them up and I've seen them sit down. And I want to tell you something. Good people go back on the Lord. Good people. I talked with a man of our church. Many of our church body will know. He doesn't mind me saying this. I told him I was going to say this. His name's Brian Burricker. Brian Burricker, I remember when he got on fire for God. I remember he was on fire. He was a fellow laborer just like this man Demas. But you know what? He went back on God. He did. And he got away from God. And he forsook the ministry that God had given him. And right now, he's in a place and he's getting some help. I talked with him Saturday on the phone. I speak with him every Saturday. And we were on the phone, and I can tell it. Listen, every time I talk with him, I hang up the phone with tears in my eyes and excitement in my heart. Because not long after he got to this RU program, he called me and he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I want you to know something. He said, I'm sorry for what I've done. And he said, I'm sorry for the way that I have turned my back on you and the church, but more importantly on my Savior. And he said, I've got the fire back, Pastor. He said, I've got the fire back. And I could hear it in his voice. Are you listening to me? I could hear it in his voice. I could hear it. Why? Because he had repented of his sin and he went back to his first love. And so I want to encourage you now. Don't be a Demas. You may be drifting. You may be drifting. And I've heard many people, and I don't want you to get angry at me. I've heard many people say, well, you know, the church is more than a building. Well, listen, we don't get our theology from contemporary music. We get our theology from this book. The building means something. It's a place to assemble. And the assembling means something. And I want to tell you, I miss my church family. I miss my church family. I miss you. And I long for the day that we can get together again. I love the brethren. I love the brethren. And I love to get together. And I love to shake hands. And we won't be doing that for a while, but I love to do it. And I love to tell you to your face, I love you and I care about you. And I'm praying for you. And I love to just be together with my church family. And I believe that many, many, not only of this church body, this church fellowship, but churches around the world that meet, that assemble, that congregate, they love that fellowship that's in the church for the brethren. And so here's Demas. Demas deserted. Demas forsook. Demas went back on God. He went back on God. All right? Now don't you go back. Notice what Paul said in verse number 7. He said, I finished my course. Now Demas, you need to finish. All right? Finish. I hear these old men of the faith. We've got two good ones right here. Listen, our church is filled with good elderly people. And if you're watching tonight and you're elderly, I want to tell you I love you and I care about you. And if there's any need that you have, don't you hesitate to call me as your pastor. Don't you hesitate to call one of our pastors and deacons. We love you. Don't you, listen, don't you do without. You call us. We're here for you. And I think of Dr. Thompson, one of the good godly men of our church fellowship, Pastor Larry and Bowden, one of the good godly men. Listen, they are finishing their course. They're finishing. And God knows, and I believe you know, that we need some people that's going to finish. Going to finish. And so I want to encourage you to finish now. How am I going to do that, Pastor? Stay in the book. Stay in the Word of God. You say, I'm growing faint. I'm growing weak. Well, it's apt to happen. And as I say, the lesson I want us to get from this, and I believe God wanted us to get, is he gave us this snapshot of Demas. Not a one of us ever gets beyond weakness. We can grow weak, and we can begin to drift, and we have to be careful. Now let's look on to the next one. That's Demas. That's Demas. That's for those of you that are listening to me, that you've kind of let your Bible reading and your prayer time go. Your worship and your ministering to others. Let me encourage you. Get in the Word of God. Get in the prayer closet. Get on social media and contact someone and encourage them. Get on the phone and call someone. Listen, I understand what time we're living in, and it's changed the way we go about ministry, but it doesn't shut down ministry. We can still minister to other people. And I want to encourage you, stay engaged, all right? Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word of God. The second person, look at verse number 11. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Well, the second person I'm going to look at is Mark. Well, here's a young man, and I'm not going to go into the detail, but read, if you would, Acts chapter 12, 13, chapter 15, Acts 12, 13, 15, sometime this week. What an encouragement it will be to you. Here's a young man, Mark. I want to give you a little background on him, but I'll be quick, but I want you to listen carefully, all right? Mark was brought up in a believer's home. His mother's name was Mary. In chapter 12 of the book of Acts, you'll find where Mark was there in Mary's home, and there was a great persecution that went out against the church. King Herod had set out to vex the church, and he had killed James, the brother of John, and he had imprisoned Peter, all right? And Mary had a group of people to come to her house. Now, this was Mark's mother. Had a group of people come to her house, and they began to pray. And God answered their prayer and loosed Peter, and he went to their home. Now, Mark saw this as a young man, John Mark. He saw this. Mark grew up on the front line of ministry. His mother, no doubt, was a praying woman. They had services in her home. They had prayer meetings in her home. His uncle, Barnabas, was in the ministry. He was a great leader in the early church. And so Mark was on the front line. He saw it firsthand. And there was a time when, in Acts chapter 13, Barnabas and Saul, or Paul, same person, they went out on a missionary journey. And they took this young man with them. He was excited. I'm getting to go with Uncle Barnabas and the Apostle Paul. Wow, what an opportunity for a young man. Well, it didn't take him long to figure out ministry is not all celebrity status and pats on the back. There was a certain individual, Sergius Paulus, who was a deputy in the town of Paphos, who said, "We want you to come and preach the word of God to us." Now, that's a good thing when leaders of a community want you to come and preach the word of God to them. Amen. And so he said, "We want you to come." So Barnabas and Paul and their team, including Mark, went with them. All right? Now, while they were there, there was a sorcerer, Elymas. And he came and he withstood them. You read it now in Acts 13. And he withstood them. And he did not want the deputy there to get saved, because he knew that it would greatly affect what he was doing in that town. And he withstood them. And Paul stood up and he said, "You know what?" He said, "You're a child of the devil and everything that's unrighteous." And he rebuked him. And he struck him with blindness. The Lord struck this man with blindness. Now, he was young Mark. He saw all of this. He saw it all. And it impacted him. And so, right after that, when they left Paphos and went over to Pamphylia, Mark went back home. All right? To Jerusalem. Well, that didn't sit well with Paul. But you know what? I don't think Paul said anything. The Bible doesn't record Paul said anything at that time. He was focused. He was focused. Now, what are we talking about here? We're talking about crisis. Here is Paul getting ready to leave this world. Crisis. Crisis. And it affected Demas in such a way that he turned and went away. Now, here's a young man by the name of Mark that it's going to affect differently. All right? Because Mark had already had something like that happen in a time of crisis in his life. And so when he turned and went back home, when Barnabas and Paul came and they set out on another missionary journey, the scripture says that Barnabas determined in Acts 15, read it in verse number 36, that Barnabas determined to take Mark with him, and Paul said, "Nope, we're not going to do that." And Barnabas said, "Well, I think we should." Paul said, "Nope, we're not going to do that." And the contention between them was so sharp that they had to part ways. And you know the story, how that Paul chose Silas and Barnabas chose Mark, and they continued their work. Some 25 years later, now don't miss this. Paul is in prison now. Paul's done a lot of missionary work since then. Barnabas has been ministering to Mark, and Mark has been receiving mentorship, and he's been growing. And now I want you to watch this. Here's a great truth. Now, we said from Demas we learn what? That not a one of us can get beyond weakness. But let's see what we learn about Mark. Look at what he said. "Only Luke is with me," verse 11. "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable." I like that word. "For he is profitable to me for the ministry." Not a one of us can get beyond forgiveness. Not a one of us can get beyond usefulness. Here was Mark that if we just left off in the book of Acts, we may have been led to believe, that's it. He went back. It's over. But I'm so thankful to God that that wasn't it, aren't you? I'm so thankful to God that when a man, listen, there's not anyone listening to me, man, woman, boy, girl, that hasn't messed up in your life some way, somehow. But I'm thankful that God, now someone said God is the God of the second chance. That's just the beginning of it. God is not the God of the second chance. He's the God of another chance. All right, we don't want to number the chance that God will give us. Now, we don't want to take that for granted, and we don't want to exalt or pretend or presume, I should say, on the grace of God. But here, Mark came back, and I like what he said. He said, Mark is profitable. Now, this is the same man that before had said, no, I don't want Mark to go. He's not going to be a prophet to us. He's going to be a hindrance to us. And maybe there's someone listening live stream tonight, all right? And there was a time when you served God on the front lines. Maybe you were brought up in a preacher's home. Maybe you were brought up in a family that served God faithfully. Went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, tithe, gave to missions. Listen, you know what it is to live the Christian life. You know what it is to be all in for Christ. And yet you've wavered. Yet you've wavered. And you found yourself listening or watching from afar. You've gotten away. I want to tell you something. God will bring you back. And not only will God will bring you back, but he'll bring you back to a place of usefulness. Notice again what Paul said, and I love this. The very man that said, he can't go, now says this in verse number 11. He said, bring him, he's profitable. He's profitable to me. Bring Mark, he's useful. You know why? Because it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're listening to me from. If you are saved in the grace of God and you are willing, God will use you. All right? God will use you. So don't you ever discount that. Don't you ever think, well, you know, preacher, I've gone too far. You don't know what I've done. My sin is too great. Can I tell you that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. All right? There is nothing that you have done that God won't forgive, and there is no place that you are that God won't bring you back from. And so I want to encourage you, if you're listening by way of live stream and you have drifted and you feel like, well, there's no use. That's the devil telling you that. Listen to the voice of the sweet Holy Spirit of God. He is telling you, come home. Come home. Come back. God has something for you to do. And it's not just any old thing. I can't overemphasize this word. Let's look at verse 11. He didn't say, take Mark and bring him with thee to me in the ministry. He said, he's profitable to me. He's profitable. You can become a profitable servant again. All right? You can. You can. So there's Demas. And he teaches us that not a one of us is beyond weakness and worldliness. And then here's Mark. And he teaches us that not a one of us is beyond forgiveness or usefulness. Now let's look at this man Luke. Verse 11, he said, only Luke is with me. I like what one man said. He said, in Demas, we have a man running from God. In Mark, we have a man returning to God. And in Luke, we have a man remaining with God. I like that. I think it's the story of many people's lives in crisis. All right? So what are we going to learn from Luke? Demas, not a one of us is beyond weakness or worldliness. Mark, not a one of us is beyond forgiveness or usefulness. Look at Luke. Only Luke is with me. Now, Luke's not mentioned much in the Bible. He's not. Not by name. Oftentimes, Luke refers to himself in the third person. So I started doing some research. I read, just a phrase about Luke, and it awoke my conscience a little bit. I said, whoa, what? And I thought, this guy's off, but I began to do some research, and I found, hey, he's not off at all. What do you know about Luke? Well, we know Luke was a very intelligent man. We know that he was a literary genius, a master, all right? I mean, the nativity in itself in Luke is just, it's masterful, all right? It's quoted probably more than any passage of Scripture in all the Bible. What we call the nativity, all right? Luke. He was an intelligent man. He was a doctor. He was the beloved physician. He was a man of many talents. But you know what he did? He served in the background. He did. And he served God with his life. Could have done anything with his life that he chose to do. But you know, he realized something that you and I pray to God that people that come in contact with a minister here at Fellowship Baptist Church will realize this. There is absolutely nothing that you can do with your life greater than serving Jesus with it. Nothing. I've learned it in my life. There is nothing greater that I could have done with my life than to serve Jesus with it. I'm so thankful that I made that choice to serve Jesus with my life. It's a choice. Now, I'm not talking about just preaching. Listen, as far as I know, Luke didn't preach many, if any, messages. But he sure did serve God with his life. He was there for a man who preached, who was beaten and stoned and cast into prison and drugged through the city. Listen, he was there to patch him up and heal him up and get him back up so he could go preach some more. Amen. I just believe his reward's great in heaven, brethren. I do. I want to tell you something about Luke. Maybe this will surprise you. Luke wrote nearly as much of the New Testament as Paul. You say, now wait a minute, preacher. No, he didn't. Yes, he did too. I counted the words. Well, I didn't count them. I got someone else to count them for me. I've got it written down here. Paul wrote 50,190 words of the English New Testament. That is 14 books if you count Hebrews. All right? Luke wrote two books, the Gospel of Luke and Acts. You know how many words are in the Gospel of Luke and Acts? 49,869. That's 321 words less than Paul wrote. Both of them wrote one-third apiece of the New Testament. Had someone had asked me that question, I don't claim to be a scholar. I would have thought John, maybe, would have written second most content in the New Testament, but it's not John at all. It's Luke. Now, he said, only Luke is with me. Now, what am I saying here? God's trying to teach us something. God is using Paul to teach us something. No one is beyond effectiveness. No one. See, you don't have to have your name out there. You don't have to be seen. You don't have to be in the forefront to be effective. Luke had done it all. All right? Traveled the world with Paul. He was a man's physician. God moved on him to write two of the most beautiful writings in all the Scripture. He wrote the gospel account of Luke, and he wrote the history of the early church. What a privilege that Luke enjoyed as an intelligent, as a man of means, a man of great literary genius. But you know what Luke did in this phase of his life? Notice what Paul said about him in verse number 11. Only Luke is with me. He learned what it was just to stand by God's man through thick and thin. You know, those are the people that oftentimes are overlooked, aren't they? I want to say to you that if you're out there and maybe you are 65, 70, 75, 80. I don't know, maybe you're 40, 50. And you feel like, I don't have many talents. I'm not like Luke. That doesn't mean you can't be effective. Okay? No one is beyond being effective. See, that's what we learn about Luke. You can be effective. When you begin to talk about the great giants of the New Testament, I guarantee you, Luke's name won't be at the top. But I guarantee you, when you really begin to dig into the Scripture, you will find this man was a spiritual giant for God Almighty. God used him in a great way. Doing something different, but yet it mattered. All right? So, what do we learn from Demas? There's not a one of us beyond weakness or worldliness. So now don't you turn in this time of crisis. Don't you do that. All right? You stay in the Word. You pray. You stay faithful to God in this time of crisis. I don't know how long this is going to go on, but I know that God is faithful. So you be faithful too. Number two, we learn from Mark that not a one of us is beyond forgiveness or usefulness. You say, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to do? I haven't served God in months, and now you're saying that I can serve Him in a time like this? I certainly am. You sure can. You can come back, you can repent, and you can get right with God, and you can reach out and minister to people. It may be different than what we've been used to. No doubt it won't be door to door, it won't be house to house. It probably won't even be in Walmart or Sheets. I don't know. But you can still minister, you can encourage people, and you can be there to minister to people. You can be profitable for the ministry is what I'm trying to say. All right? Number three, Luke. Luke. What does he teach us? That no one is beyond and never gets beyond effectiveness. You can be effective. You say, well, now I don't have all the tools that Luke has. That's okay. God can still use you. All right? And maybe you do have the tools that Luke had, and you think, well, what can I do? Maybe you're on the backside, and you feel like, what can I do now? Well, you can pray. Can I tell you, the church needs prayer warriors? This old world needs some prayer warriors. It does. We need some Abrahams that'll stand before God, before judgment, just like Abraham did when his nephew there, Lot, was in Sodom before judgment struck. We need some folks that'll stand before God in a season of prayer and be effective. Luke, I want to close with this. Paul. What does Paul teach me as I study Paul's life? And there's so much, and there's no way I can get into this. But there's a couple of things that Paul says that strikes me here, and I want to bring it to your attention. Look, if you would, in verse number 9. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. You see that? You know, Paul's a spiritual giant. He was. And as I've already said, he's a people person. He's just a people person. Everywhere he went, he met people. He won them to Christ. He trained them for ministry. He got people. I believe up to 100 people. Y'all count them sometime. I've counted them. Romans 16, 28 people. 2 Timothy chapter 4, 17 people. That he mentions my name. Let me show you what he'll do many times. Notice verse number 21 of 2 Timothy chapter 4. Do thy diligence to come before winter. Eubulus greeteth thee, and Pudens, and Linus, and Claudia, and all the brethren. Right? So there's people he don't call by name, but I'm talking about people that he calls by name. He was a people person. All right? Paul was a man of great personality. He loved people. He invested in people. But yet, here's what Paul teaches me as he's winding down his life here, and this is what I want you to get before we close. Not a one of us ever gets beyond humanness. All right? Yes, Paul was a spirit-filled man. Paul was God's man. Paul was a spiritual giant. I don't think anyone would argue that. But Paul was in the flesh just like you and I. He had needs, he had cares, he had burdens. He had fears just like you and I. All right? Paul had some needs in his life. Can I tell you, no matter how long this crisis lasts, we're going to need one another. And there's not a one of us that's going to be able to rise above the fact that we're human. Though we're in the flesh, we shouldn't walk in it. We should walk in the Spirit. Though we're in the flesh, we shouldn't trust in it. We should trust in God. Trust in the Lord. But that doesn't prevent us from remaining human and having needs. Again, look what he said. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me. I believe Paul got lonely. He said, Timothy, I sure would like to see you one more time before I head out of this old world. Look what he said in verse 13. He said, Timothy, when you come, bring my cloak. Bring my coat. Why? He's a human. He has needs. I think sometimes we look at people in ministry and we think, well, you know what? They're superhuman. They don't face temptations that we face. They don't have needs that we face. Don't kid yourself. All right? He said, I have physical needs. Bring thy cloak. Bring my cloak. Right? Then he said what? When thou comest, look at verse 13. Bring with thee the books. He had mental, social needs. I want to read some. Right? I want to read some. Needs. And then he had spiritual needs. But especially the parchments. Bring the Word of God. Paul teaches us that regardless of where we are in life, we never get beyond humanness, all right? And so let's pray for one another. Let's encourage one another. It's easy to fight and tear down, isn't it? I mean, it is. It's just easy to pick each other apart and fight and tear down. Listen, if there's ever a time, and I'm not encouraging ecumenicalism and let's all come together and lock arms and sing kumbaya. That's not what I'm encouraging. I'm telling you that the Bible says that we ought to be kind one to another, tenderhearted. Forgiving one another, even also as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're to show loving affection one to another. We're to consider one another, to provoke one another to love and good works. We just ought to be good Christians. And so in the time of crisis that we're in, how are you going to respond? Like Demas and run away? I pray that you don't. You say, well, preacher, I already feel myself headed in that way. I'm going to encourage you just now as we're going to bow our head in just a moment. Would you bow your head and ask God to forgive you for drifting? And would you make a commitment in your heart to get back in the Word and get back in the prayer closet and begin to encourage people again and reach out to others and be an encouragement to them? Can I encourage you to do that? And then if you're Mark and you've already strayed, maybe before churches ceased to meet in assembly and congregations and buildings, you had already gotten out of church. You had already left the Lord. Won't you come back? Won't you come back and let God make you profitable? Don't let this crisis take you further away. Allow this crisis that our country, that our world is going through, allow this to be something that would bring you back, that you could be profitable for the ministry that God has for you. God never saves a man without giving him a ministry. God never saves an individual without giving them a purpose and a plan. And God has one for you. All right? So don't you think I'm beyond forgiveness. I'm beyond usefulness. No, you're not. Number three, Luke. All right? So I can't be effective. I can't be effective. What will my little old ministry do? Well, you'd be surprised what God can do. Little as much when God is in it. You give it to God, and you'll be amazed what God will do. You be a Luke. All right? In this time of crisis, don't discount the effective ministry that God could have for you. It's a different time. It's a different time we're going through. And God could use some of the expertise that you have, some of the things that you have resource and access to that God can use to encourage and to minister to others. And then Paul. Let's all remember one another. We're human. None of us ever is going to get beyond that. Not till we leave this life. All right? Let's bow for prayer. This is the message that God laid on my heart. And it's a message I trust that each one of us in this time of crisis would remember. Did you find your place there? Which one of those individuals did you find your place? Was it in